Good morning, church family. This is Pastor Elson. Today's message is entitled, If.
The recording has started.
Today's message is entitled, If. It is about a word that is very small. Just two letters. But it seems to be quite a big word in the Bible. Sometimes there is a scholar that even called the Bible the ifs book, because there are quite a few ifs in the Bible. The reason this word is so huge, even though it has only two letters, is because the conditional nature of its meaning. If is a conditional word that leaves room for doubt. If is a conditional word that empowers choice. If is a conditional word that creates hope. If is a conditional word that produces excuses. The word if is also the beginning and middle of a whole bunch of statements that you and I can know by heart. Let's see if you know the ends of these statements. Statements that we use in our daily lives every day, sometimes multiple times a day. Let's see if you can know the how. I'm going to read the first part of the statement, and then you can see if you can guess how it ends. If it ain't broke, you guess right, don't fix it. Another statement says, if at first you don't succeed, how do you say? Try again. Third, it says, if it doesn't fit, you know, those of you that remember the trial, the OJ's trial, it says, you must acquit. What about the other sentence that says, if the shoe fits, wear it? Or some places they said, if the hat fits, you wear it. If you're happy, if you're happy and you know it, the children know that, right? Clap your hands. If appears between the first book, if, appears between the first book in the Bible, the book of Genesis, and throughout all the other books until the end of the Bible, which is the book of Revelation. Precisely, in a King James Version, if appears 1,595 times. Oh yes, 1,595 times. This is just in the King James Version. 1,420 different verses use the word if. Also you can notice that in other Bible versions are a little bit different. For example, English Standard Version, 1,673 times the word if is used. In American Standard Version, 1,588. In a modified King James Version, 1,670. And the list goes on. Of course, depends on what kind of version you use. The number may be different from one to the other. But the fact is, the Bible is an ifs book. There are a lot of ifs in the Bible. So today, we'll go over some of those verses. Just tell us exactly what the Bible is trying to teach us when they use the word if. One of these little packages of merely two letters, as we say, is the word if, because grammatically speaking, if is identified as a conditional particle. That's the definition of what if is. That is, it mentions conditions, also circumstances upon which there'll be consequences, good or bad consequences, that always follow if. By the way, if, it never stands alone. always has something after to define it. If has a great ways, you can apply if in many different ways. Sometimes they involve blessings. Sometimes they are referring to consequences. But sometimes if is just an opportunity, is a reflection of opportunity. If is one of the first words a child begins to associate with logical thinking. First time that the child discover the ability to reason is because of this. The youngster as yet does not know anything about the formal process of reasoning, but less does he or she know of conditional particles. But children quickly get the importance of if. Let me show you an example. Bobby, if you eat your vegetables, mommy will let you have some ice cream. Oh, suddenly the child starts understanding what if is so important. Down go the vegetables, because Bobby wants to have learned that if I do this, I get that. Also in discipline, when parents tell their little ones, if you do this, this is going to happen. So they learn the consequence. They learn reward because of if. They learn consequence because of if. And then on their own, they develop the ability to discern when is if convenient for them and when if is not convenient. So they start studying their parents and they start learning the ways of their parents. And sometimes they become the teachers themselves. They start to use their ifs. As one grows, the ifs becomes multiplied. Sometimes we have to live a life in submission to the ifs. Let me give you some more examples. A parent may say to their child, if you finish the homework, you may go out and play. So as we grow, we keep learning the power of if. Another example is, if you complete your chores, you may use the car this afternoon. If you take this medicine, it should relieve your symptoms, the doctor may say to you. If you service your car regularly, it will last longer. We all know that. On and on, the list goes, and more ifs. As we grow older, we start to dealing with more and more ifs. Why is that if so well understood and accepted virtually in every aspect of life? And by the way, it's not possible to refer and talk to life without notice that what put life together is if. If is in the heart of life. And as the Bible, the principal word in the Bible is life, if is everywhere, because whatever life is, there is an if right in between it. It is interesting that if is so important in life, and yet in religion, in our relationship with God, sometimes we have a tendency to ignore the ifs, and we jeopardize our eternal life because we ignore those ifs. That is a terrible and a very strange phenomenon, and it reveals how stubborn sometimes religious people can be. Now, let me give you an example that something is going on. It has been going on since Genesis, and it's going on in our lives right now. It's a very serious matter, and I'd like to bring this to your attention. And you'll see that this is not something very common, but it's something that has infiltrated the whole world. And there are some places that have been the master teachers of this incident. If has been used from the beginning by Satan to create one of the most satanic and the most powerful and deceiving doctrines ever taught to any human beings. You want to know what I'm talking about? A doctrine of eternal security. Some of you, Seventh-day Adventists, you never heard that expression before. What in the world, Pastor, is the doctrine of eternal security or unconditional immortality? Let me explain to you what that is all about. One of the most satanic doctrines, which I just mentioned, ever put together by Satan himself, is the idea that a child of God can never lose his salvation, his or her salvation, no matter what she or he chooses to do in life. Once that you're baptized, you can go on sinning, and you know what the daughters of Babylon call it? Once saved, always saved. Or I like to call it unconditional immortality. Satan told to our grandmother Eve, you shall not die. No matter what you choose to do, you will have no consequences. You go ahead because God created you to live forever, and you live forever no matter what you do. Oh, but God said that if I do this, I will die. No, you're not going to die. Today, Hollywood is creating movies all the time trying to indoctrinate us to that lie. And I call Hollywood. You know what I call Hollywood, right? Because there's nothing holy about that place. There's a lot of follies in that place. That's why I call Hollywood, not Hollywood. And then also there is this wonderful world of Disney. And people go there and think that this is a fantasy world. But if you look, every single thing that Disney produces has this lie behind. All those ghosts, all those things, it is on television, is on books, is on entertainment parks, is everywhere. Satan is so active in teaching this that he has infiltrated every aspect of our life, even the churches, even the Seventh-day Adventist church. Pastor, what are you saying? Do you say that in our church there are people who believe the unconditional immortality, or once saved, always saved? Unfortunately, sometimes people say that they don't believe that because the Bible doesn't teach that. But we borrow as a church hymns from other denominations. We have a hymns in our hymnal that comes from the Daughters of Babylon that infiltrate that concept of immortality of the soul, saying that a soul is part of us, not us. It is going on and on. And sometimes people say to me, Pastor, that's not a big deal. Yes, that's what Satan told you to Eve. Not a big deal. God said that, but it's not a big deal. And we go on and on with this. And we going with this naive idea that this is not a big deal. And we keep going on. If it's not a big deal, why Satan has used throughout the centuries everything, every aspect of our society to propagate this lie? There is heresy, this heresy called impossibility of apostasy. It's taught by the Calvinists, Presbyterians, by all the daughters, all the Protestants. They are everywhere. Consider the fallen promise of Christ. Look what the Bible says, because the most safe way for us to keep ourselves protected against these heresies and these false teachings is always to go to the Bible. But believe me, even some versions of the Bible have been contaminated by these false teachings. That's why when we study the Bible in our days, we have to compare not only text with text, but we need to compare versions with versions, because the deception is going at every level. In John 8:51, Jesus says these words, if a man or a person keep my word, he or she shall never see death. So people say, oh, see, if you once that you're baptized, you never see death again. So you will be loved. But they forgot the if. There is a condition. If there is a condition to live, that means life is not unconditional. Every life is a conditional. And that's what we're going to be learning today in our message. What is the power or if? Does this text affirm that no one will ever be lost regardless how he lives? Definitely not. Of course not. And most of us know that. And I hope all of us will know that by the end of this message today. It does affirm that no one, if they don't keep God's word, they may lose their salvation. There's no salvation, unconditional salvation. Every promise, the Bible is conditional. But the particle if is crucial. Let me give you some scripture passage that made this quite clear. If we hold fast to the word, 1 Corinthians 15:2. If we faint not, Galatians 6, verse 9. If we continue in the faith, Colossians 1, 22, 23. If we endure, 2 Timothy 2, 12. If we add the Christian values, 2 Peter 1:10. If we walk in the light, 1 John 1:7. And the list goes on and on throughout the whole scriptures. Salvation is conditional. God does not impose salvation on us. Salvation is a choice. And because it's a choice, there is an if. In each of these biblical texts that we mentioned above, that we just mentioned to you, if is the leading conditional particle. Please also notice that after each if, there is a verb, the action verb, that requires action from us. If we hold fast, if we faint not, if we continue in faith, if we endure, if we add, if we walk, every single time, if is followed by an action verb to tell us that we need to do our part. We need to choose and work. No honest student of God's word will ever say that salvation is unconditional. That's a lie. That's a deceptive lie that the Satan is trying to convince all the evangelicals, all the ones that call themselves Christians. They go to church and they say, hallelujah, hallelujah, and there's nothing. I don't have to observe God's law anymore because once saved, always saved. And the devil says, I got you. That is the deception. To those that may be tempted to say to me as a pastor, say, Pastor, you place too much emphasis on this if. And I say to you, no, I don't. But Jesus does. Yes, Jesus makes it a very, very clear point about using. Jesus used the ifs more than anybody else in the gospel, the four gospels, more than 400 times Jesus used if. And I have some examples to give to you today. The few biblical texts we are using today, and many others, many, many others, are very clear that our salvation is dependent upon our sincere and determined effort to pursue God's will. I'm very sad that today so many call themselves Christians. Not only they assume, but they are teaching that salvation is a gift, and like every other gift from God, it is free. We are in a political season in our country. And there are a bunch of people out there says, oh, if you vote for me, then you're going to get this free, this free, this free, this free, there's free, and everything is going to be free. That's a lie. nobody can give anything for free to anybody. Not even God can give you anything, because if he gives you something for free without asking you to respond, there will be no value in what he gives to you, because what values what he gives to us is our ability to choose and value what he gives. Have you ever received a gift that you don't care about? Something very cheap that you'd say, ugh, and you just toss it away? Why sometimes we don't like the gifts that we get? Because maybe it's not what we want. But when we want something very badly and somebody gives that to us, then we value that gift because we know there is value in that gift. That's the same way with all the gifts that God gives. We have been taught that salvation is free, a free gift from God. Yes, we have John 8:36 that says, so if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. And Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we go on, says everything's for free, salvation is for free. Salvation is not for free, brothers and sisters. The next time that somebody tells you the salvation is for free, tell them to look at the cross and see how much was paid, how much God paid to make you feel special. Don't go around saying that you are nothing, because Jesus, when died on the cross, says that you are something. That's how much he paid in order to have you as his child. We all think that all gifts are free without any attachment strings to it. But I said again, that's not true, because someone always have to pay for the gift before the gift is delivered to you. Everything that is given, it costs somebody something. Every promise in the Bible that is mentioned has a condition. One that we use as Christians, we know this so well. John 3:16, right? Which says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Have you noticed the condition? 3:16 does not use the word if directly, but indirectly does. It says the condition is you must believe and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. By the way, when you accept Jesus, the Bible says the devil believes too. But one thing that the Bible does not say is that just because the devil believes that he is saved. So Christians, when they say, oh, I believe, that's all that I need to do, so I'm saved forever and ever, I'm saved, I can do whatever I want, I'm saved. You ask them, Satan, the Bible says that Satan believes. And that does not make him a saint. Brothers and sisters, Satan knows that Jesus exists. He tempted him. He knows him. He knows him from heaven. He knows him from the time he was created. And yet, he is not saved. He spent a lot of time in Jesus' church. And today he spent a lot of, I don't think there is anybody who spent more time in church than Satan himself. And yet, that doesn't save him. He is lost and lost forever. So God's promises are conditional, all of them. There is a if to show us the conditions, but also to show us an opportunity to respond with our obedience. For your information, and according to the Quick Verse Bible software, the NIVs, I know that some of you use the NIV version. If is used more than King James 1,784 times and 1,589 verses. This is an NIV. And I already mentioned to you that in the King James is 1,420 verses for 1,595 uses, no matter how what version do you use, every promise that God has conditions. Let me share with you why is this if word so powerful in the Bible. The word if is one of the most important words in the Bible because it speaks directly to our individual responsibility to God and also our responsibility to our God's church, also to our responsibility to our fellow brothers and sisters, our responsibility to this world and to the world to come. Most promises in the Bible, as I said to you, are conditional. And the word if address those conditions. Our choice to listen to God's voice and obey him has a direct effect in our relationship to him and to determine our eternal life. Here are some if statements in the Bible. Right in Genesis chapter 4, God is speaking to Cain, said this to him, "If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Oh, can you imagine how different the world would be if Cain would have paid attention to the ifs? Can you imagine how much different your life would have been if you have paid attention to the ifs when the Lord talks to you? When God spoke to Israel as a young nation, he said this to them, "Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be my treasure possession." Let me apply this to you, my brother and sister, this morning. Let me read these words to you as God will be speaking them directly to you. If you, my brother and sister, obey fully God's covenant that he has made with you, the day that you were baptized, and the day that you surrender your life to him, out of everyone, God will look at you and said, "You are my precious treasure. You are my precious possession." In Deuteronomy, that was Exodus 19, verse 5, first part of Exodus. I mean, first part of the verse 5. Deuteronomy 6:25, God said this to Israel, and he said the same thing to us today. "And if we are careful to obey all his law before the Lord your God, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness." Amen. Deuteronomy 7:12. "If you pay attention to these laws and are careful to follow them, then the Lord your God will keep his covenant of love with you, as he swore to your forefathers." What a contrast. Churches today are saying, there's no more law. It wasn't nailed to the cross. But God is speaking to his people, says, if you pay attention to these laws, if you observe them, if you follow them, then there will be blessings. They'll follow. Jesus used the word if very regularly in his ministry. 574 times in the gospel. Jesus used always if as a conditional choice that we must make. You are familiar with some of these very common verses. In Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15, says this. Jesus said, "For if you forgive men or women, you know, if you forgive people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive them, your heavenly Father won't be able to forgive you either." You see the condition? If you do, then you get. If you do, then you get. Whatever you give is whatever you receive. In Matthew 21:22, Jesus says, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. If you believe, you will receive. If. John 8:51, Jesus says this, most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. If anyone keeps my word. Have you noticed that your eternal life is can be defined by the if? Such a small little word, if. John 13:35, New King James, Jesus said, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have loved me, if you have loved one another. Brothers and sisters, sometimes people say, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. Sometimes people say, I'm a Christian. And when we see the way they act, I can imagine Jesus saying, I have no idea who you are. I have no idea who you are because you practice iniquity. I have heard sometimes people that are not Seventh-day Adventists say, oh, a Seventh-day Adventist did this. I thought the Seventh-day Adventist, I said, anybody can call themselves Seventh-day Adventist. The devil goes around calling himself an angel. As a matter of fact, he isn't an angel. There are a lot of people who say they sell themselves to be Christians and they don't live according to Christ because they don't observe those ifs. John 14:15, New King James, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And remember, the word love means God. John says, love is God. God is love. And so, if you have God, you keep Jesus' commandments because the commandments of Jesus is the same as the Lord God. John 15:7, New King James, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Brothers and sisters, do you want to be more powerful in prayer? Be more powerful in doing, because it's by doing that you shall receive. Many people think that if they keep, they will have more. And they don't realize that the more we give, the more we keep. That's what the Bible says. If you give, you have. If you don't give, you don't have. If you keep, you don't have. If you give, you have. Multiplied. John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. 15:14. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Keep remember the word if. If you are my friends, if you do this. Some people, they call themselves friends of Jesus, but they don't want Jesus as Lord. They want just Jesus as friend. If God is for us, who can be against us? And this pandemic is very important for us to be reminded of this. If God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:9. In 1 Corinthians 15:2, Paul continues by saying, by this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. I have given Bible studies to a lot of people, even sometimes people that claim to be a Seventh-day Adventist for a long time. It is very sad sometimes when I notice that the people that has being a Seventh-day Adventist for so many years, they are still doing things that a Seventh-day Adventist should not do. Not at all. And I'm not talking about eating shrimp or drink alcohol or do those things, because people think that they, just because nobody else in the church knows what they are doing, that they are safe. Look, whatever you do in your life, you have to do for Christ. You need to be a new creature in Christ. You have to let it go, those things, because if you are attached so much to those things, they will be destroyed. You end up being destroyed with them. You have to let it go, those things. If you are in Christ, you must be a new creature in Christ. Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19 says, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, talk about Revelation. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him all the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away, they're going to be suffering the consequence. That's very clear in the Bible. There are a few more verses that I'd like to share with you, that each statement in the Bible. If and hear. Psalms 81:9, New King James says, hear all my people, and I will admonish you, all Israel, if you will listen to me. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Isn't it amazing that a lot of people go to church, a lot of people listen to the gospel, but they don't have ears to hear. And sometimes they hear only what is convenient for them. In other words, they have a suggestive hearing. In other words, they adjust their hearing so they hear only what they want. They don't hear, they block things that they don't want to hear. Revelation 13:9 says, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. Hebrews 3, verse 15, New King James, while it is said, today, while it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Brothers and sisters, I hope that this is a prayer for this morning. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Listen. Now listen to me. If you are wise, pay attention to what I say. That's what Job said to his so-called friends. Job 34:16, New Living Translation. In Deuteronomy 11:26-28, New King James. Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse, a clear choice. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of your Lord God. The curse, if you do not obey. A blessing, if you obey. A curse if you don't obey. If you listen to these commandments of the Lord your God that I am giving to you, Moses said, and if you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you a head and not a tail, and you will always be on top and never on the bottom. Deuteronomy 28:13, New Living Translation. Obedience is one of the most remarkable conditions in the Bible, throughout the whole Bible, not only in the words of Jesus Christ, but Moses, all the prophets and writers of the Bible, they emphasize the importance of obedience. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 28:2, New Living Translation. If you are willing to be and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Isaiah 1 verse 19, New King James Version. What about the voice? If and the voice. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, if anyone hears and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he'll be with me. Revelation 3:20. But, brothers and sisters, there is a little voice, a if voice, that we should not hear. Yes, there is an if voice, a tiny little voice, that sometimes gets in our heads, and sometimes people tell us, in our work, in our marriages, in our churches. Be careful with that little voice that I call the if voice, the if little voice. In Matthew 27, verse 40, New King James Version, it talks about one incident, this little voice is speaking very close to the ears of Jesus Christ. He says, and saying, "You who destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." You know who are saying this? First, the priests in the multitude close to the cross. And then the thief right beside Jesus on the left side. First, the two of them, then the one on the left. He starts saying the same thing. They heard that from the priest, so they decide to use the same if voice, that little voice. "If you are the Son of God, prove it. Come down from the cross." And there will be such a miracle that everybody, the entire Roman Empire, the whole world will know about it. And guess what? And if you come down, you bring us down too, please. That was Satan speaking to the multitude, using the multitude as puppets to be the little voice, the voice of doubt. In Matthew chapter 4, when discussed about when Jesus Christ began his ministry, Satan was there too with a little voice. "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, because it's written." And he even quoted the scripture. Of course, he misquoted the scripture, because in Psalms 91, 11, 12, doesn't say exactly the way he said, because his intent was, "Why don't you tempt God? Jump." It is very clearly that in the beginning of ministry of Christ, Satan was there with the if. As Jesus was closing his ministry on the cross, Satan was there again with if. As you came to the church, I can tell you Satan has some ifs. As you are journeying in your spiritual life, Satan has some little voices of if to cause doubt. Don't listen to the little voice. Listen to the loud voice of Christ when he talks about the ifs. In Deuteronomy 4:29, and I'm reading this from the Complete Jewish Bible. It says, "Seek Adonai, your God, and you will find him." But there is a condition. "You will find him only if you search him with all your heart and all your being." And by the way, in the other versions, there is a corruption there, because the original says being. It doesn't say soul. Okay? The original, that's why I use the Complete Jewish Bible. Because the Complete Jewish Bible in this case says exactly what the original means. The original says being, not soul. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Some people pray, and they wonder why God cannot hear them. It's not because the God does not want to. It's because iniquity is blocking. It's a noise that's blocking. Have you heard sometimes when somebody's talking to you and you cannot barely hear because the signal is having interference or something is going on? That is how the prayers some people are to God, because God cannot hear them. Why? Because there's iniquity interfering with the connection. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord cannot hear me." Psalms 66, verse 18, New King James Version. Romans 10, verse 9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Yes. I'm repeating this text because it's worth repeating. James 1, verse 26, New Living Translation. If we claim to be religious, if you claim to be a good Seventh-day Adventist, we return tithes, we give a lot of money to the church, but we do not control our beloved tongue. We like gossiping. We like to those spicy talks. You are fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. As Jesus Christ says, do those, but also do this. Don't do this and then ignore those other things. Be a complete Christian. Control your tongue, because your tongue should be an instrument to praise God and to uplift your brothers and sisters, not to destroy them. Don't let the devil use your tongue to create little ifs in the church. If in faith, you don't have enough faith, Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, if you had faith, even as small as mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move. And the mountain will start running to tell me where. And whatever you tell the mountain to go, the mountain will go. If you had even a tiny little faith. Matthew 17:20, New Living Translation. 1 Corinthians 13:2, New Living Translation. Apostle Paul talks about love. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possess all knowledge, if I would be the wisest person on earth, and if I had such faith that I could tell the mountain, jump, and the mountain would jump, but I didn't love others, I would be nothing. If three times he says, if I have all that stuff, but I have no love, I'll be nothing, because God is love. And if I don't have God, I have nothing. New Living Translation. If you have faith, do not doubt, my brothers and sisters. Doubt also faith by itself. If it does not have works, is dead. Many people today tells you, oh, I have faith. I have faith. The devil says I have faith. The devil says I believe. There are a lot of people that says believe. One pastor was in a pastor's meeting, even told me, told all of us in the meeting, and I was shocked, because he says, I believe there's nothing wrong between a Seventh-day Adventist Mary and a Baptist. They are both believers. And I said, Pastor, the devil is a believer too. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't marry any devils. And I'm not calling the Baptist devils or to call anybody else devils. I'm just saying the Bible teaches clearly that we must believe, have the same beliefs in order for us to have a chance that our marriages will work. When the Bible says that we should not marry this person with that person, the Bible is concerned about the well-being of both of them, not just the one over the other. And so when I say that Seventh-day Adventist should not marry a Baptist, I'm not saying that the Baptist is better or the Seventh-day Adventist is better. What I'm saying is that it's going to be worse for both of them, because both of them, they do not believe the same way. And the Bible says clearly, when two do not agree, how can they walk together? And the Bible says also, how can you have any community between light and darkness? There is no such thing. So when you teach that somebody should not marry somebody, it's because hopefully you have compassion on both of them. You don't want for them to be a burden to each other. And that's exactly what you're trying to do. And it's not that you don't love the person, it's that you want to make sure that that person doesn't have a burden that it cannot bear. If in belief. If you really believe Moses, Jesus said, you would believe me, because he wrote about me. John 5:46, New Living Translation. So it's very important for us to understand that if we believe in what Moses wrote about Jesus Christ, we should have believed in Christ too. That's what he was telling them. John 11:40, New King James, Jesus said to her, the woman, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you will see the glory of God. He was talking to Martha. Because when Martha said, oh, Lord, if you have been here, my brother would not have died. If you have been, almost blaming Jesus. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. Oh, and your brother is going to, oh, I know he's going to resurrect in the last day, but I need him now. I have bills, I have things, I need my brother now. And Jesus kept going, and then he went to the grave and told, move the stone. And she Martha said, oh, my Lord, the body stinks. It has been there for 4 days already. Jesus didn't question her, just told her, move the stone. And they did. And then he says, Lazarus, come forth. And by the way, brothers and sisters, he didn't say, Lazarus, please come down. He didn't say, Lazarus, come up. He says, come forth, because Lazarus was there, was done all the place. Ooh, there in his space, no other place, like the devil is teaching to all the church today. So Jesus said to Martha, didn't I tell you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, Romans 6:8, New King James. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. What a beautiful blessing, comfort for us to know that our beloved ones that have gone to the grave, that the Lord will allow us by his grace to see them again, to meet them in glory and enter the kingdom with them. If in words, if a man makes a vow to the Lord or swear, like we did when we were baptized, we made the vows, or swear an oath to bring himself or herself to some agreement, he shall or she shall not break a word. The Bible says the Lord does not have no pleasure in fools. If you open your lips to make a commitment towards the Lord, proceed and do what you have promised. Numbers 30, verse 2. We are almost done here, brothers and sisters. If you are not careful to observe all the words of this law, which is written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, Deuteronomy 28:58. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you keep my word, he will never see death. Jesus answering said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, as we will come to him and make your abode with him. John 14, verse 23. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your way. Take up my cross and follow me. If you want to be my disciples, you must do what I am asking you. Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell everything. He was talking to the young ruler. Sell everything, give to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven. Brothers and sisters, the secret is to have, is to give, is not to keep. That's Matthew 19:21. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Jesus said to this person, if you can believe, all things. Mark 9:23. On the last day, the great day of feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. John 7:37. In Romans 10, verse 9, that tells us to confess Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, tells us to examine ourselves to see if our faith is genuine. If it's not, we have failed the test. 1 John 2, verse 1, my little children, there's this thing I write to you so that you may not sin, but just in case, if somebody sins, we have an advocate with our Father Jesus Christ, the righteous. In conclusion, brother, sister, let me share something here to you. I have many more other things to share, but because of the time, we're going to leave this for another time. The Bible principle of if, it tells us that we must have a Christ-like faith to make sure that all those ifs can be put into practice in our lives. Matthew 5, 5, there's a promise. You will inherit the earth, the condition, if you are gentle, humble, and meek. Matthew 5, 10, the promise. The kingdom of heaven will be yours, the condition, if you have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Matthew 5, 11, 12, the promise. The Son of Man, Jesus, will reward people in heaven. The reward will be great, will be eternal life. The condition, if people revile and persecute you for his name's sake. Matthew 7, 7, the promise. It will be given to you, the condition, if you ask. The promise, you will find, the condition, if you seek. The promise, it will be open to you, the condition, if you knock. Matthew 24, 45 and 47, the promise, God will make a person ruler of all his possessions, the condition, if that person is faithful on the small things. The path to great things starts in our faithfulness on the small things. James 1, 12, the promise, we will receive the crown of life, the condition, if we endure the temptations, the trials, and we keep the law of God. 1 Peter 5, 1 to 4, the promise, church elders, church officers, pastors, will receive a crown of glory that will not fade away. The condition, if we feed the flock of God, of God's people, if we are kind and willing to always to surrender our lives in service. I don't know how many of you have heard of the very famed pianist, Arthur Rubinstein, or Rubinstein, whatever you pronounce his name. In a celebration of his 84th birthday, he said something that somebody wrote it down. And I have the quote here. He says, as long as we have what we have inside, the capacity to love, to work, to hear music, to see a flower, to look at the world as it is, nothing can stop us from being happy. But one thing you must take seriously. You must get rid of all the ifs in your life. He was talking about the bad ones. Many people tell you, I would be happy if I had a certain job. Or I would be better looking. Or if a certain person would marry me. There isn't any such thing. We must live our life unconditionally without the control of the ifs. So we are lying if we say we have a fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth, even though we are Seventh-day Adventists, we are not practicing the truth. If we are not living the light, but if we are living the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleans us from all sins. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, New Living Translation. and we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. If somebody claims, I know him, I know God, but doesn't obey him, doesn't obey his commandments, that person is a liar and is not living the truth. 1 John 2, verse 3 and 4. We all know 1 John 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive all our sins and cleanse us from all iniquity. If anyone loves God, this one is the one who is known by him. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 9, 8, verse 3. And finally, in closing, brothers and sisters, I'd like to say to you, I have some words here that I believe that the Lord wants to, for me to speak to you on his behalf. So I'm going to say this to the people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the Vista Church and all our friends that are online at this moment. To you, Jesus Christ say, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. May the Lord bless you, give you the power to make right choices, give you the power to be wise and choose the ifs and fulfill the conditions that the Lord put in order to embrace you and to take you to the kingdom. It is my sincere prayer today that you will be embracing those ifs and make the right choice to improve your life, to come closer to God and to have a better relationship with your beloved Abba. God loves you more than you can ever imagine, more than your brain can even conceive. We don't have the ability to understand the love of God, because God so loved the world that he gave his son. He gave his son to have you, his child. Don't miss the opportunity. Don't let this opportunity pass without embracing God completely. Be confident. The Lord loves you because he has redeemed you. He has chosen you even though when you were turning your back to him. Today is the day, as the Bible says, if you hear his voice, listen to him. Turn to him. Be a light as he is a light. Live in the light. Obey him. Obedience is a gift. God has given you eternal life. Why don't you give him what he wants, which is your life? Because if you give him your life, you will keep forever. Remember what I said 3 times today? Those that gives are the ones who keeps. Those that do not give are the ones that ends up with nothing. God bless you and turn your life into something that can be remarkable to those around you and remarkable to the God who called you into his fellowship. God be with you. Amen.